Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayo Madirayet. Nasta Preshu Abadishu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevayat. Bhagavatyutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Paranjan becomes a woman in his next life. Chapter 28, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 35 and 36. Tatra Chandravasa Nama. Tatra Chandravasa Nama. Tamraparni Vatodaka. Tamrapani Vatodaka. Tat Punya Salilar Nityam. Tat Punya Salilar Nityam. Ubayat Ramano Mrijan. Ubayat Ramano Mrijan. Tatra Chandravasa Nama. Tamraparni Vatodaka. Tat Punya Salilar Nityam. Ubayatratmano Nrijan. Tatra Chandravasa Nama. Tamraparni Vaktodaka. Tat Punya Salilar Nityam. Ubayatratmano Nrijan. Could you turn the phone off? Thank you. It's enlivening. You may recite the verse. Tatra Chandra Vasanama. Tamra Parni Vatodaka. Tat Punya Salilar Nityam. Ubayatratmano Mrijan. Tatra-chandra-vasa-nama. Tamra-parni-vato-daka. Tat punya salilar nityam. Ubayatratmano minchan. Ladies. Tatra Chandra Vasa Nama. Tatra Chandra Vasanama Tamraparni Vinodata Uvayatmatmanovadam Tatra There Chandravarsa The Chandravarsa River Nama Named Tamraparni The Tamraparni River Vatodaka The Vatodaka River Tat Of these rivers Punya Pious Salila With the waters Nityam Daily Ubayatra In both ways Atmana Of himself Mrijan Washing Kanda Bulbs Astibi And by seeds Mula Roots Palai And by fruits Pushpa Flowers Parnai And by leaves Trina Grass Udakai And by water Vartmana Subsisting Sanai Gradually Gatra His body Karsanam Rendering thin Tapa Austerity Astita He underwent Let me go back and read the second verse here Kandastabir mula palai pushpa parnais tranodakai vartmana sanair gatta karshanam tapa astita. Translation: In the province of the Kulakchala, there were rivers named Chandravarsa, Tamraparni, and Vatodaka. King Malahavja used to go to these pious rivers regularly to take his bath there. Thus he purified himself externally and internally. He took his bath and ate bulbs, seeds, leaves, flowers, roots, fruits, and grasses, and drank water. In this way, he underwent severe austerities. Eventually, he became very skinny. Repeating the verse, in the province of Kulakala, there were rivers named Chandravarsa, Tamraparni, and Vatodaka. King Malayadvaja used to go to those pious rivers regularly and take his bath there. Thus he purified himself externally and internally. He took his bath and ate bulbs, seeds, leaves, flowers, roots, fruits, and grasses. And drank water. In this way, he underwent severe austerities. Eventually, he became very skinny. Report by Srila Prabhupada. We can definitely see that to advance in Krishna consciousness, one must control his bodily weight. If one becomes too fat, it is to be assumed that he is not advancing spiritually. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur severely criticized his fat disciples. The idea is that one who intends to advance in Krishna consciousness must not eat very much. Devotees used to go to forests, high hills, or mountains on pilgrimages But such severe austerities are not possible in these days. One should instead eat only prasad and no more than required. According to the Vaishnava calendar, there are many fasts, such as Ekadasi and the appearance and disappearance days of God and his devotees. All of these are meant to decrease the fat within the body, so that one will not sleep more than desired, and will not become inactive and lazy. Overindulgence in food will cause a man to sleep more than required. This human form of life is meant for austerity, and austerity means controlling sex, food intake, etc. In this way, time can be saved for spiritual activity, and one can purify himself both externally and internally. Thus both body and mind can be cleansed. Om Agnati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha. No comment. Actually, Achyutananda Swami, I think he read this verse once, and he said no comment. He was quite plump. I myself am also quite plump. But I do have some comments. So, Prabhupada was very adamant about this. He also chastises disciples. I remember one devotee, he wanted to become a sannyasi. He was brahmachari, and he wanted to become sannyasi. But he weighed quite a bit of, he was very, very fat, actually, very fat. You can imagine, even fatter than me, he was fat, so fat. So he was very fat, and the devotees were discussing with Prabhupada, should this person take sannyas, and the issue came up of his weight. And so the question was, is he fit to be sannyas? Because he's eating so much, you know. So Prabhupada mulled it over and then he thought, and Prabhupada had a wonderful sense of humor. He said, fat does not fit. So like that, he was denied sannyas at that time. But later he was able to take after many efforts. Anyway, many factors come. Once someone is fat, if you're fat as a child, it is very easy to become fat because the fat cells never go away. They just lie dormant. If you become skinny during some course of your life by severe austerities and penances or just by neglect, you'll still have these fat cells in your body. And they're just waiting for you to supply some carbohydrates and then they'll puff up again. So better never to become fat. That's one idea. There are many, many factors involved. Jai, all glories to their lordships. So also as one ages, unfortunately, the fitness of the body is deterred. The weight, if you're carrying extra weight, of course, the knees start to go. And once the knees start to go, walking becomes painful, and therefore it's not easy to exercise so well. Then that also is like a vicious circle. Lack of exercise develops more fat. Fat is stored. And we go on and on like this. So we're suffering from our karma. The karma for sloth, of course, is to become very fat. Laziness, it's to become fat. And so one has to be very careful to avoid those pitfalls in devotional service. And it's true, one can see if someone is overweight, the chances that he is spiritually inclined or spiritually advanced are very slim, you might say. At any rate, all of his fat problem, of course, comes from overeating. There's no solution other than to stop eating, so much. There's no way around it. So we're concerned like this. The Ayurveda, it recommends that between meals, one fast completely. In the West today, they say, oh, eat small meals many times. That's the solution. But that is not the solution, actually. Because one overeats at any time at these small meals. They become not just snacks, but meals. So the Ayurveda recommends that you completely fast between meals and then with no snacks. And this encourages a full digestion of what you have eaten. So this is important. Eating fruits is also very important. If you want to lose weight, eat fruits. That will give you a lot of fiber, and then you'll be able to lose the weight. Here you see that the Maharaj is eating fruits and roots. Of course, if we served fruits and roots at prasadam in Brahmacharya Ashram, which is very opulent prasad, if we served just fruits and roots, I think the population there would be diminished very rapidly. But because you're active all day, because you're working very hard for Krishna, then that's very nice. I remember there are some pictures of my good self, my better self, my lesser self, you might say, in Facebook and in different places. And I was quite thin. I looked like something out of a German concentration camp or something. It was quite wonderful, actually, to be like that. But as age creeps in and as sloth creeps in, laziness, then there's no way to hide it, you might say. So in America today, it's a big business about losing weight. They have very, very great concerns for this. And so ladies are spending thousands and thousands of dollars on this technique called liposuction, where they go in and they take the fat out of the body by actually sucking it out of the body. And it's very, very painful. And it creates very painful reaction. For weeks and weeks, people are very sore. It's like being beaten, you know. And so they take the fat out of the body in that way. But they're very concerned to have a sculpted body, a very beautiful sculpted body. But unfortunately, the mentality is not very beautiful. The mentality is not at all attractive. Mentality is just so that I'll look good, you'll be attracted, and that's it. Boss. I don't want to have to deal with anyone. I don't want to have a relationship with anyone. I don't want to have to be kind to anyone. I simply want to be attractive. So this nonsense mentality is ruining the country. I was interested to see, going on Yahoo, on the news, and Arundhati Roy, a famous Indian author, she is a contemporary author, and she writes stories about the Indian middle class. And I read one of her books, a series of short stories. And she talks about how people in the Indian middle class, how they completely reject the lower classes. They take advantage of them, they utilize them for their pleasure and so forth. And then if there's any difficulty at all, they cast them right out. They have no desire to deal with them. So it's a very amazing, she's a very prophetic person. She has a very great vision of what is actually going on in the world in India today. I remember when I first came to India in 1976, people were inviting me to come to their homes. They were like this and that. They were just so very friendly, so very courteous and kind. But today that has all changed. Everyone has a big car and they just drive right by. They're not concerned anymore. It's interesting. So the mentality, the change of mentality is happening as the consumerism, as people become more opulent, they naturally become less concerned with religious principles. The principles of dealing with guests, taking care of people, helping people, it becomes less and less a concern. So this mentality is actually ugly. This is a sad thing that this has happened to your great country. That the original moods, I lived in Thailand for some time, and my host there, I was working there designing a temple. And the architect that was in charge of the project, he took me around several different places. And he said, we went to one area, it was suburbs, and there were little houses here and there. And he said, you see, in this house here, there's a water pot in the front. And if someone were walking by the house, the people would rush out and scoop water, you know, clean water, and offer it to that traveler, just someone they never saw before, just walking by. I'm very much aware of the activities, pious activities. I'm very much aware of how to create good karma in Thailand. It's very interesting. And they, of course, have a respect and an understanding of who is Lord Brahma, who is Lord Shiva. They have all these things. It's almost like Hinduism, except they're worshipping Buddha instead of Lord Krishna. So it's like that. Religion, philosophy is meant to change people and make them active in a kind and gentle way, in a pious way. It's not meant to just assure them that they're going back to or they're going to a higher reward, no matter how they behave. It's not meant to do that. But today, in most religions, that is the objective, to assure you that this is the right place for you to check into going back to heaven. But Krishna consciousness is beyond that. Unfortunately, although Ms. Roy has a very perceptive view, she was accused at one point of sedition, of undermining the Indian middle class, middle class government and so forth. And she said, actually, the middle class have left the planet. They've left the planet. They're no longer in touch with what is real life, because they're just absorbed in their cars and their goings and comings. They're making money. And so she said, they're the persons who are actually responsible for sedition. Sedition is to undermine something. They're undermining the whole of the subcontinent. And so we can appreciate that this is all due to the I, me, mine mentality. I, me, mine. People are no longer concerned with what is belonging to Krishna, what belongs to me fairly, what is my quota, but simply how can I enjoy more and more? And as a result of this, so much difficulty is there. So not only do they want I, me, mine, what they want, but they want it right now. Give it to me right now. This is important. I get it immediately. Immediate sense gratification. Instantly. That's, if you look at the advertisements, you'll see instantly is used very often. You know, instantly you'll be transformed. You know, get this product. Instantly you'll get relief. but anyone has a grain of sense, he knows this isn't true. But still, when you see that word, instantly you're attracted. And this is the nature of Maya, is that she has the glitter, that word. There's some words in advertising, beautiful, you know, tasty, you know, delicious. These different words, they just ring a bell in the mind. Oh, let me have this. So, unfortunately, the only solution, Ms. Roy does not have a solution. She can only criticize. She can only say, this is wrong, this is wrong. This is not good, this is not good. She can advocate some piety. But without understanding what is Krishna consciousness and what is the goal of life and how to really perfect and purify life, she cannot really make any worthwhile statements. But this is our advantage in Krishna consciousness. Whether we're fat or tall or short or small or whatever, we can chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And these holy names are the purifying factor. It's not, this is the real control of the tongue, the mind. This is the controlling factor. This is the button that we can push, and immediately, instantly, we get this good feeling. This good feeling, not just good, but ecstatic feeling. We relieve ourselves of all our material apprehensions and anxieties. Hunger, thirst, these things disappear when we're chanting. We can get away from them. I know, it's interesting, actually, I chant my rounds here by the water thing. There's a very nice water container there for the devotees, so you get thirsty or something, your mouth dries, whatever. But I see that very few devotees actually take advantage of it, you know, because when they're absorbed in the chanting, it's no longer a factor, you know. I took some water a couple of times, then I don't anymore. It's just so much nicer just to chant, just to think of the Supreme Lord in the form of His names. So much easier. So this chanting is the perfect solution to all of the difficulties. It's the perfect solution. Unfortunately, we're not taking. I myself, I'm not taking so perfectly. There was one class recently in Mayapur. We have two very advanced devotees there, pujaris, and Jananivasan and Pankajanyan, and they're very very austere, very serious, and they're always chanting or doing some service for Krishna. And they were saying, you know, actually we chant very nicely, but we don't hear properly. Sometimes you hear devotees chanting, what's going on there? He's chanting something, but he can't be hearing. You can't be hearing Krishna's names in that confusion of syllables. So one has to take very serious aim. If you have a goal, if your goal is to reach Krishna at the end of this life or during this life, actually that is our process, to reach Krishna during this life, then you have to pay strict attention to him. He's in a relationship with Krishna, in a relationship with a woman or a man, you have to pay attention to that person. You can't ignore him for weeks on end or days on end. You can't go to some place with him on a date or whatever and then just ignore that person. You have to be attentive to that person. Oh, you're saying like this. Oh, it may seem very foolish whatever the person is saying, but oh, yes, that's very interesting. You have to pay attention. So similarly, if you want to attract Krishna by the process of his chant, of chanting the holy names, you have to pay attention to it. This is our process, to pay attention to Krishna. Krishna conscious means that Krishna is my mind, I'm thinking, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So someone was telling me the other day that Prabhupada, even in his great distress, he was chanting Hare Krishna constantly. In that way he was able to overcome all the difficulties and pains of his body. It was said that when Prabhupada was passing away, he had this kidney disease. So it's excruciatingly painful. Excruciating. The doctor said any other person in his condition would be screaming in pain. Because Prabhupada was not taking any narcotics. He was not taking any opium the M word. Anyway, he was not taking any narcotics to quell the pain. But the doctor said anyone in this condition would be screaming in pain. But Prabhupada is simply reciting Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna. So like this we can understand the potency. Prabhupada is meditating, just because that subject came up, I was meditating on Prabhupada's departure. And in discussions recently with some devotees, the idea of him teaching us how to pass from this world, showing us how to pass from this world. The body becomes useless. It just lies there. There's nothing we can do with it. Can't raise our arms, can't raise our head. We're just lying there. But concentrated on Krishna. The mind is there. As long as the mind is there and one is concentrated on Krishna, there's nothing bad that can befall us. This body may disintegrate, but we cannot be disturbed because we have Krishna consciousness, because we're in touch with the Supreme Power, the Supreme Powerful. He won't let us down. He won't put us in a position where we're destitute or abandoned. This is the thing about Krishna. He never abandons his devotee. He's always there for us. This Paramatma feature is constantly giving us instruction how to behave, how to deal with our circumstances. Things become intolerable sometimes, and we become agitated, and we feel things are very difficult. But by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By this chanting, we can overcome all of our anxieties. Our anxieties are so much based on the senses. Sense gratification is our pursuit. So if we want quiet and someone is chanting, we find it difficult sometimes to hear that chanting. We don't like that. If someone is agitating us in one way or another, we find it difficult. Why? Because we're attached to sense gratification. Ultimately, I remember when I first became a devotee, my friend Rupa Vilas was preaching to me, and he said, ultimately it all boils down to either you're going to choose God, Krishna, or you're going to choose sense gratification. And because we choose sense gratification, we alienate ourselves from Krishna. The more we go for sense gratification, the further away we are from Krishna. So this is very difficult for some, like myself. An astrologer said once, I'll always go after the enjoyment. I'll always try to enjoy, he said. Yeah. So I have to find some way to enjoy in Krishna consciousness. There's no alternative for that for me. I want to enjoy. That's the nature. Prabhupada was asked once, why is there anything? A very wonderful question. Some professor in South America asked him this when he was in Colombia. He said, why is there anything? He almost didn't understand, or seemed not to understand the question. Yes, and the professor said, just why is there anything? And Prabhupada said, for pleasure. Krishna has created this whole world, this whole reality, all of these different things. Krishna is himself embodiment of pleasure, and all of his creation is there for pleasure, for his pleasure. So when we're cooperating with Krishna, when we're working with Krishna, and we're desiring Krishna's pleasure, our pleasure is there. This is a miracle of Krishna consciousness. We find this out when we actually start to serve Krishna. This is the miracle, that I no longer have to serve my desires and my wishes, but I serve Krishna's wishes and I become satisfied. For so many years, I had this desire to make a film. I thought, if I can make a film, then I'll be happy, I'll be satisfied. So I began the process, slowly, slowly, this thing, that thing. I got involved in the process, and it all became my dream became a nightmare. So many responsibilities, so many difficult things to do. And it all became very mundane, as long as I had the mundane attitude, I want this for me. I want this for me. But still I had this talent or propensity or desire, so I didn't know what to do. But I finally realized, if I pursue this endeavor for Krishna, with all the difficulty that is there, if I make an offering of all these things to Krishna, then actually I'm becoming satisfied and happy with the project, happy with the idea. So you may have your proclivity or your passion or your desire to do some particular thing, but if you do it for Krishna, it is much enhanced. If you do it for yourself, it becomes mundane, it becomes bothersome. So many problems. I was just thinking, my life would be so much easier if I didn't take this on, if I didn't have this desire. Why has Krishna given me this desire? Perhaps he wants me to do this. But he wants me to do it for him, not for myself. So motivational factor, this is the important thing in our life. Are we motivated to serve Krishna, or are we motivated to serve ourselves? Are we motivated to become big devotee? Overweight, like that? Or are we motivated to become Krishna's servant? This is our decision. This is the decision each of us has to make every day. Practically, some of us say we have to make this decision every few minutes. If we're just coming to Krishna consciousness and we're not trained and we're not stabilized in our service to Krishna, then every few minutes we have to make a decision. Am I going to serve Krishna, or am I going to serve my senses? But we should know, we should discriminate those two things. It's either Krishna or my senses. It's going to be one of the two. I'm going to serve one way or the other. So which is my choice? So I hope that you all pray for me that I will get my tongue under control, and I will stop overeating, and I will become useful to Krishna in some capacity or another. I'll be leaving here this next Wednesday, and I've spent almost a month and a half here. It's been very, very joyous. The Brahmacharya Association has been very, very sweet to stay with the Brahmacharis and see the simple life that they live. And in many ways it's helped me to recommit myself to becoming a simpler devotee. It's a very wonderful thing in becoming simpler. You know, Prabhupada said this is simple for the simple and complicated, complex for the complex. Complicated for the complex. So Krishna consciousness is an opportunity there that is not requiring great education or great material achievement or wealth or fame, any of those things. These things are usually drawbacks to becoming a devotee. But the simple life of the brahmacharya is such a wonderful thing. So we can all implement that, male or female, we can all implement that in our life, grihastha or brahmacharya, whatever. Simplify. It's either Krishna or sense gratification. What do I want? You know? So I thank you very much. If there's any questions or comments, Hare Krishna.
Listening to Bhagavatam or reciting to Bhagavatam has the same effect. Am I right?
Listening to or reciting? Yeah, have the same effect.
Is it so in the case of listening to Mahamantra chanting recorded or chanting itself personally?
Both are effective, but Prabhupada asks us to participate in the chanting, to chant and hear. So we do that. We cannot always depend on a mechanical advice or device to be there to chant for us.
No. Only listening to the mechanical device has the same effect as personally chanting, or lesser effect? What I mean is,
I can't say exactly what is lesser or more about chanting Hare Krishna, because everything is good about hearing and chanting. These are the first. What is it? First step is the hearing. You have to hear before you know what to do. And once you hear, you know you should chant. So like that, it's a very simple. We don't take one and isolate it. Oh, hearing is supreme, so no more chanting, just listening. No, we do the whole nine yards, nine processes of devotional service. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Advaita Jay.
Prabhu, I have one question.
Okay.
How is body different from mind, and is mind the Atman?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question and speak into the microphone?
How is body different from the mind?
How is the body different from the mind?
Yes, is mind the Atman, the Atma?
There are three types of Atma, body, mind and spirit. And these are all defined as Atma, self. So the mind is one self, the body is another self, and the soul is the supreme self or the higher self. The supreme self, of course, is Krishna. But we are part and parcel of Krishna, so we're part of that supreme self, but that is the real self. And that is the self that we're trying to discover through this bhakti yoga process. Who am I really? Not just this overweight old guy. but actually spirit soul. Part and parcel of Krishna, and a personality who has a relationship with Krishna, and he wants to pursue that relationship with Krishna. We're convinced like that this personality of our real personality is yet to be discovered. But that personality can only be discovered in relation to Krishna. You cannot have self-realization without Krishna consciousness. It is not possible. You can realize that I'm spirit, but that's not full self-realization. That's like thinking God is a spirit. Yes, he's a spirit, but he's also Krishna. He's also Gornatai, Rasabihari, Sitaram, Lakshmana. He's also all of these personalities. And so, if you want to take advantage of relationship, which is our natural desire, what pleasure is there in being alone? We are social. We like to have... Why is that? Because Krishna is social. So we like to have that relationship. So there are three different Atmas. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bhu.
First of all, I want to thank you for cleanly and neatly explaining about Krishna consciousness and about the selfish motive. But again, I have a question for you. Is that, for example, when you are involved in a professional job and doing your duty, you may think of Krishna, but you are helpless to do duty towards Krishna's consciousness, and it's not the question of, maybe sometimes it's not the ego or something which is coming, but you are bound to do your duty in the behind Krishna's consciousness. Would you like to say something about it?
Yes. What is your first duty?
It's Krishna's consciousness.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's the only solution. You weigh everything according to your priorities.
But again, then you are involved, practically you are involved in life with a professional job and duty towards other activities.
Krishnadas Kaviraj was a doctor.
Sorry, could you say again?
No, sorry. Krishnadas Kaviraj, he was one doctor. He was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. And he was healing people both materially and spiritually. So somehow you have to find that balance. There are many big industrial people. I don't know what is your profession, but there are many big industrial people. And they have a reputation of being very pious and being God-conscious to some extent. And that reputation actually is what they're known by. Oh, he's a big industrialist, and he's very pious. This is the important thing. This is the not just to be pious, of course, but to be Krishna conscious. This is the important thing. What do you want to be known for in your life? So, you want to be known for being a devotee of Krishna. That makes you famous. And once you're famous, you don't have anything else to achieve, practically speaking, in this material world. Whatever you do as an industrialist or a lawyer or a doctor, these things are not as important as what people think of you as a person. So if they know of you as a devotional person, someone who is sold out to Krishna, the first priority is Krishna. Then you'll become famous. Because there's so many doctors and engineers and lawyers and there's so many people like that. But a devotee, that's a very rare thing. So if you go for that rare position, that's the best thing for you. As far as your other obligations go, you can fulfill them to the extent that they help you in your Krishna consciousness. If they help you to maintain your family in a Krishna conscious way, if it help you to... Well, so many different things are there, so many different avenues of help, so many things we think I need help in this, but actually it's just an attachment and we don't need it. Again, they get back to simplify your life. Balance your time. That doesn't mean 50% I'm giving to Krishna, I'm here at the temple, and then so many other things I'm doing, you know, outside 50%. No, everything that you do, do as an offering to Krishna. This is the most practical thing about bhakti yoga, is that we can advance in any station of life, any position we are in, we can advance if we offer these things to Krishna, if we offer what we have, our activities. If you're a doctor and you're trying to cure people, you offer that activity to Krishna. You understand that Krishna is in control. Not taking the credit yourself, but I'm doing this, you know, to glorify Krishna. Whatever we do, if we can make it Krishna conscious, we'll be successful. For ourselves, we become more and more devotional. For other people, we'll set an example of what they should do with their life. You know, so many, especially young people, what should I do with my life? I have my life, what do I do with it? Should I marry, have family, get a job, support it, go for this and then retire in Florida? No. No, you should become Krishna conscious. So setting the Krishna conscious goal is the means for transcendence. We can't be completely pure immediately, although the Bhagavatam says if you chant the holy name one time, you can't even commit that many sinful activities. So that's a pure state, just by chanting one time. The problem is that the consciousness falls back into material awareness. Oh, I have this obligation, I have that obligation, I have to do this. I have to go with my friends and we're going to have a robbery. We're going to make a robbery at the bank, or we're going to cheat these people, and we're going to do this. I have to do these things because my friends are expecting, society's expecting now that I will do this thing or that thing because I'm in this position or that position. But that's bogus. You know, that's following false leaders. And what we want to do is follow the real leader, the Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All of the Acharyas in the Parampara, we want to follow them. All of the gurus, all of the ISKCON gurus who are preaching sincerely and perfectly this message taught by Prabhupada, we want to follow them and move in the direction of total purity. The world is a mess, you know. Arundhati, Miss Roy is presenting it so clearly. What a mess. One description after another of messy, messy life, unhappy people. It's amazing. It's very, very expert. But what is the solution she can offer? Well, try to do better. Please try not to be so cruel to each other. No, we say chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, and all of these problems will take care of themselves. Because you will become that kind of person that can lead people out of the material world. Remember, this world is a burning building. If you're in a burning building, you get out. You don't try to redecorate and make it better. If we move the couch over here, it'll be much nicer. You know, we move over, away from the fire a little bit, we'll be better. No, the fire will catch you very shortly. So what is our objective? Our objective is to get out. And this is exit philosophy. You know, we're exiting.
Thank you. Thank you. Dhanyavaad.
So, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, you had a question? I'm sorry. Yeah.
Please, Gyanagamya Prabhu ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I wanted to invite everyone here to visit the library where we have loaded that particular DVD film which you have made and given to me very nicely and graciously. Yeah. On the 3-day Alachua, Florida Krishna Balarama installation ceremony festival. So that 2-part DVD is now in the server in the library and everyone is welcome to see it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. It's a long film. I think if you live in Alachua, you may see yourself there and you'll be very excited, but maybe not everybody wants to see the whole product. But there's a shorter version, about a half hour version. 27 minutes or so, and that's worth seeing because the deities are very beautiful. Yeah. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.